Good morning. It's the 18th of April, 2024. We are in Eastertide, so once again, remember that this is a joyful season. Entering some weird times on YouTube, I would suggest that I've gotten some messages from people wondering suddenly why they woke up one day, weren't seeing my videos anymore. So they searched and found out that that subscribe button had turned from subscribe to not, and they had not done so with their consent. So if that's you, please fix that. Check that to see if that's the case, because it's weird times here on YouTube on the creator side. That's all I'm going to say about that. So yesterday in this live stream, we spoke about mass attendance and some startling numbers. And one of the things that was some people gave some pushback on was the cell phone data, that the carriers took the data and they sell the data, which is legal, apparently, for some reason. And they sold it to some researchers who then crunched the numbers to see where people were on a Sunday. Some people pushed back saying, well, I don't take my phone to mass with me. I think that's a generational thing. Most people don't leave the house without the thing. I'll give you an example of this. My phone has my car insurance data in it, which I would not leave the house without, as well as mobile banking and a lot of other things most people wouldn't leave the house without. They have convinced us through convenience that we should not leave the house without that device. There are ways to turn off tracking. I think I did that with mine. Although if you use any apps that require location settings, like say Google Maps or Waze or any of the other ones like that, you have to have that on. So most people don't leave the house without it. The vast majority don't. There are some who do. I think if your parish is in a decent neighborhood, you should be able to leave your phone in your car during mass, which is probably a good idea, so you're not distracted by it. But beyond that, most people don't leave the house without it. And that's why that data, I'm inclined to suggest that that's probably pretty close to accurate. It might not be 4.5% who attend mass among all Christians in the United States, or attend church among all Christians in the United States. It might be a little higher than that, but I tend to think that that's pretty close to on the money. And it would go to a long ways to explain a lot of things happening in the world, at least or in this country. But I want to here go to outside the United States to look at this similar kind of thing here. So let's go to LifeSite News for this story, because we're going to start talking about what this looks like in other places. This is self-reporting data from surveys. And I can tell you as a trained social scientist that your survey data is people will exaggerate things to make themselves look better in a lot of ways. Now, in Italy, I don't know what that means here, because this headline gives it away. Italy faces catastrophic collapse of Catholic faith as mass attendance falls to 10% or below. The steady, even accelerating decline in the practice of the Catholic faith among Italians is detailed in a new study published by Professor Luca Diotalvi, of the University of Rome. Now, self-reporting data, again, will often exaggerate for their own personal protection for whatever reason, telling the researcher what they want to hear. It's one of the reasons why a lot of political polls are all over the board most of the time. People will sometimes give the answer they think is either the more popular one if they're undecided, or they will give the one they think is the best for their personal security because in this day and age, you express the wrong kind of the support for the wrong person, you can find yourself in a lot of hot water. And so that kind of throws that around. But I'm curious what that means for this kind of self-reporting data, because it's to 10% or below in Italy. And as we go over the story, you're going to see this is a big deal. So let's go to the story. Traditionally Catholic Italy is facing a catastrophic collapse of the faith as mass attendance falls precipitously to 10% of the population, and even less in some areas. The steady, even accelerating decline in the practice of the Catholic faith among Italians is detailed in a new study published by Professor Luca of the University of Rome in a book entitled The Mass Has Faded: Participation in Religious Rites in Italy from 1993 to 2019. In the book, Diotalvi examines the numbers, demographics, and possible causes of the sharp collapse of Sunday Mass in Italy in over the last 30 years. According to his findings, Italian Catholicism is on the cusp of disappearing. I want you to understand what that means. This is the home of the Holy See. This is the Vatican is there. This is where this is the place in the world you would expect the faith to be the strongest, but it's not. In fact, in the Western world, this appears to be the place where the faith is the weakest. If we take official these self-reported survey data seriously. According to the study, which is based on figures from ISTAT, the Italian National Statistics Institute, mass attendance in Italy has been in free fall since 1993, with a more marked decline from 2005 on and another dive in 2020 and 2021, corresponding with these things that were happening at that time. If you're familiar with how Italy was handling it, they were handling it in the most draconian way possible, more draconian than almost anywhere in the world, except maybe Australia. In 2017, for the first time, the number of Italian Catholics who never attend Mass exceeded the number who said they attended at least once a week. In 1993, the number of practicing Catholics in relation to the total population of Italy was already low at 37.3%. Okay, that's 31 years ago. Okay. This fell to 23% in 2019 and then fell off a cliff afterwards. He points out that declared regular Sunday Mass attendance is always higher than actual attendance. This is the theme we're running with in these last couple of days. So the actual percentage of practicing Catholics is even lower than official stats show. So again, in Italy, official self-reporting is 10%, but people will always exaggerate on this. We saw that with that cell phone data we talked about yesterday. That it looks like on paper, 28% of American Catholics go to Mass on a regular basis, but the broad number of Christians in general who go to church on a regular basis is 4.5 to maybe 6 or 7%. What does that mean in Italy for the 10% reported? I don't know, but this is where the rest of the West is heading. The professor wrote, quote, in the Italian population of age and above, individual declarations of participation with at least weekly frequency in highly institutionalized religious rituals, academic speak there, and thus also characterized by some form of significantly centralized regulation, in the period from 1993 to 2019, have experienced a drastic decrease. They have lost about a third of their initial value, meaning about a third of the people who were going didn't anymore up until 2019, and then went off a cliff after that. The indicator, which structurally overestimates real participation, in the indicated period has experienced not only a consistent decline, but also an acceleration. Such acceleration experienced a significant moment roughly in the middle first decade of the 21st century. So we'll come back to this here in a second. The middle part of the first decade of this century. What do you think that means? I can tell you what that means. It's an elephant in the room for the thing that kicked off this acceleration. And that was Ted McCarrick. And not just McCarrick himself. The countless bishops and priests like him. The middle part of the first decade. That was Boston, 2003. It was in the United States. And there were stories like that breaking at the same time in Italy, in Ireland, in France, in the UK, Canada, anywhere you want to name. Priests of a James Martin persuasion, who turned out weren't just of the James Martin type, but were also kin of Ted McCarrick, spiritually speaking. Institutional problem. So a lot of people walked away. And it's been accelerating since then because the number of James Martin type priests have increased in the priesthood, or so it seems. We all have this ability to kind of sense it, right? And the stories about them have been increasing as well, partially because of social media. That's the other factor in all of this, is our ability to communicate with one another is because of the increase in social media and then quasi-social media. Like, I don't actually consider YouTube to be social media per se, but it often gets lumped in there. But the growth of YouTube, the growth of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all the rest of it, those kind of platforms have allowed people to communicate with one another for better and for worse, and has played an absolute role in everything you see here. So yeah, this isn't surprising in an abstract way. Recently, it's interesting to note, though, too, that this is accelerated at the same time that Italy had a bit of a what you might call a conservative political backlash against the powers that shouldn't be in the secular world. But that doesn't mean it's had a religious resurgence. And you should also remember that in terms of American politics, too. That big old contest coming up later this year appears to be the winds are with the once and maybe future head of state. But the thing about it is that's not coming with a religious resurgence at all. And that's interesting because we usually associate those two kinds of things with a sort of a religious revival, even a soft one. And that's not happening in the United States. And more people of a conservative political bent in America and other places are also less and less religious. And you can see it in the discourse. You can see it in the marketing. You can see it in a lot of things. And it leaves a lot of us kind of, you know, traditionally minded Christians of all stripes kind of out in the cold a little bit on this. And so I want to ask you this, how much the decline of the faith in Italy is because Italians have a front row seat to what Francis is doing to the church? How much of that acceleration is due to Francis and his bringing in St. Gallen types to the Vatican? I've reported stories like those Italian priests who wrote an open letter to the public who said that Francis was basically destroying the priesthood there. I mean, remember, they have a front row seat to all of this. And so we're observing this from outside of Italy. And the thing is this, in America and other Western countries, what we witnessed here is men leaving the faith. It's pretty obvious to see why that is. I mean, a lot of people don't want to hear this, but you've got lady altar servers, same with the readings happening on Sunday, and them doing generally other things that were traditionally left to priests, deacons, subdeacons, and people who could become priests, who were discerning the priesthood, now being done by both men and women. Combined with weak clergy giving safe homilies and bishops doing constant fundraisers while remaining silent on the evils in the culture. It does tend to drive men away. It really does. It's also why you see the traditional mass has many, many more men, and especially young men at it. None of those things happen at the traditional mass, unless it's a diocesan one. I've heard of some diocesan masses being the same as their ordinary form masses in that way. But in traditional parish settings, you get much more rigid conformity to the historical standards of the faith and how the liturgy was done. But Italy is different there. So it's different in this way. It's not that just the men that's left the faith, and it's not just the large numbers of faithful. Italy is weird in this because what we're seeing here is that they've lost the women. Back to the article. Dio Televi's study has also revealed demographic trends in Italy's decline of mass attendance. One notable trend was a marked increase in the abandonment of the faith by Italian women, once regarded in the Catholic nation as the pillars of the parish. That's true everywhere. Right. Dio Televi wrote, quote, on par with decline and its acceleration, and perhaps as a cause of these, must be counted the progressive detachment between women and religious rights, the type under consideration. It alters and almost erases a constitutive feature of contemporary, perhaps not only contemporary, Italian religion. He continued, women are deserting highly institutionalized religious rights at a faster rate than men, often in the same cohort. The step backward taken by women is much larger than that taken by male peers. The at least weekly practice levels of the former have now almost caught up with them. For the youth and early adulthood stages, the run-up can be said to be essentially successfully completed. We'll leave that, the Italian story, there. This isn't only in Italy. They've lost the women, though. I mean, think about that. There's something not seen in most of the rest of the West. Again, in America, it's usually the men we talk about. You go to parishes, and it's a lot of ordinary form parishes, and you'll see the demographics skewed towards a lot of older women are there. But because in America and much of the West, it's younger men who don't go to mass anymore. In Italy, it's almost reversed. For whatever reason, the men still go, or at least what people who go to mass tend to be heavily skewed now more towards men than women, and it's getting worse. It paints a stark portrait of the future of the faith in Italy. Unless something changes, the Catholic faith will effectively disappear in Italy in the very near future. Italy will cease to be an Italian cult or Catholic culture. But Italy isn't alone. You see, a few faithful Irish Catholics watch this channel, and so we tend to turn from time to time to the state of the church in Ireland. Because, you see, Francis has done some interesting things to the faith in Ireland. This story should have gotten more attention when it happened, but it didn't. So we get this headline from IrishCatholic.com. Pope announces seismic changes for dioceses in the West not seen for 1,000 years. And here by the West, I mean Western Ireland. Mass attendance in Ireland is pretty low. A lot of people have walked away from the faith, have renounced their Catholic faith publicly in Ireland. That's not a secret. That's been reported on by anybody who ever touches the subject. This has led to a fundamental restructuring of the diocesan system there. Here in the United States right now, they're not really going after the diocesan system so much as the changes you're seeing are more in parishes. First, you close a bunch of parishes, and then you make cluster parishes. I've got a story for you. I think it's this weekend, coming up this weekend, about some of the absurdity that this is taking in places like Baltimore and other places. But they're restructuring Catholicism at the parish level here first, before they start going after dioceses. Here you've got, they've gone after the dioceses themselves, completely restructuring things. Very short article. We'll just go over the whole thing. Pope Francis has announced monumental changes to the leadership of dioceses in the west of Ireland in a move that has long been expected but has come suddenly. There will now only be 3 bishops in the whole of the west, Western Ireland, ecclesiastical province of Tuam, after the biggest shakeups of dioceses for almost 1,000 years. Pause there. My apologies for my pronunciation of Irish things. My bad. I'm really bad at the pronunciations, and I try. I do. The Pope appointed Bishop Paul Dempsey, up until now the Bishop of Ancre, as auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Dublin. He will join the other newly appointed auxiliary bishop-elect Donal Roche, probably no relation to Cardinal Roche. The pontiff made Archbishop Francis Duffy, Archbishop of Tuam, apostolic administrator of the Diocese of Killala. Bishop John Fleming of Killala has been due to retire for over a year, and Pope Francis has accepted his resignation on the grounds of age. Killala is one of the least populous dioceses, not only in Ireland, but in the world, with only about 30,000 Catholics. If I remember correctly, there are 30,000 Catholics in all of Mongolia. And so you've got that same kind of population in Catholic Ireland here for that one diocese, which is actually kind of remarkable. It goes into more of some of these names here. But Archbishop Duffy said, the announcement of this level of change in the episcopate in one province at the same time is quite significant. It creates a possibility of exploring a closer union between the Archdiocese of Tuam and the Diocese of Killala. You see a spinning of this as a positive thing. Any such change would involve living communities. It could not be simply structural or administrative. It would require careful discernment over some time involving the whole people of God and the respective dioceses. What they're not telling you there is that they're doing this restructuring because there is simply not anybody going. People have walked away in Ireland. There's a lot of reasons for that. None of them valid, but a lot of reasons for that. It's been in free fall in Ireland for many years, due in part to bad things bad clergy did in that country. Again, McCarrick kind of things. Famously, there were some issues with nuns there, and a lot of the stereotypes you get about nuns ramp them up to 11, and you've got stories like that out of Ireland. But you get all the bad press about the church in the last few decades coming out at the same time that secularists who took advantage of this dissatisfaction and anger at bad clergy and bad religious, they use that to force secular values on the country. Now, almost no one goes to Mass in most places there, though I have it on good authority that, once again, the very, very few traditional Mass offerings in Ireland are generally packed to standing room only. I also know that there are house Masses, home Masses, where traditional priests will sometimes say Mass in people's homes. No, I'm not going to tell you where they are or who the priest is. I have been in communication with somebody there periodically, and they're a source I trust on this, and that those home Masses can tend to be full, too. Again, formerly Catholic Ireland is the canary in the coal mine for this. It wasn't that long ago that Ireland was generally steadfastly keeping the faith. In the grand scheme of things, this was in the lifetime of many of the people watching this. Ireland was considered a steadfastly Catholic country. And, you know, there could be a resurgence there. There could be a great sort of religious revival that goes on there with under good leadership, a holy pope appoints some good bishops there, or inspires the lukewarm bishops there to suddenly reconnect with their Catholic faith. And this has an effect at bringing people back to the Mass. Combine that with things going on in the world that are clearly some form of a chastisement heading towards probably a really nasty big one. Things will probably come back. The faith will come back in Ireland at some point. But things are so bad right now that they're merging dioceses basically and having very, very few bishops in Western Ireland, which used to be rock solid in the faith. But what does this mean for the future of the church in Ireland? So we go to a different article from them, from the same outlet. Diocesan shakeup, what do these changes mean? Written by the same person. Again, very short piece, so we'll just go over the whole thing. As with most things ecclesiastical, change comes slowly. In the last three papal nuncios pushed the Irish hierarchy to reduce the number of dioceses as priest numbers collapsed and attendance began to dwindle. The bishops, for the most part, resisted, and the Vatican had a long-running standoff with them. This new nuncio, Archbishop Luis Mariano Montemayor, seems to have had one mission: get this over the line. He has. An amalgamation of dioceses has long been advocated in Ireland, too, by many priests and commentators. Priest, theologians, and author Father Vincent Tuomi, who was close to Pope Benedict XVI and taught in Maynooth, wrote in his book, The End of Irish Catholicism, that the dioceses should be reduced. Pausing there, a priest who wrote a book tackling the subject of whether the faith in Ireland was going to go away suggested that the number of dioceses be reduced. One of the things you often hear from commentators is that we should have more dioceses, smaller dioceses, where the bishop could get to know the laity more. Here you're seeing the opposite, where they're reducing the number of dioceses because of a lack of vocations and a lack of mass attendance. And this is a theologian. This is not somebody speaking off the cuff about this. He said that, quote, 26 dioceses are too many for such a small Catholic population. Ireland, folks. At the very most, 12 dioceses would be sufficient in Ireland, including a reduction of the size of the Archdiocese of Dublin to the present county boundaries. In 2011, it was reported that Rome was planning a radical restructuring in Ireland in response to the Ted McCarrick things, but that came to nothing. For some, it would have seemed like a punishment due to the bishops, and for others, it would have seemed like the start of some kind of renewal. 13 years later, it seems like neither. Rather, the necessary downsizing of a church that is struggling to find a new vision in an increasingly hostile environment. It seems the church has been forced by statistic and circumstances to take these measures. With a Bishop Dency of Achary going to Dublin, perhaps on paper, it could be viewed as a demotion from bishop of a diocese to an auxiliary to Dublin's Archbishop Dermot Farrell. It may also be a sign that Dublin is being prepared for an eventual splitting of this massive diocese in two. Etc., etc. And I want to give you this because there are going to be, I know there will be counter argument that there's some positive signs there. So we can go to Catholic News Agency for a positive spin to some of this stuff. Now, this is not a new article, it's from a year ago, but they give you this. So this headline is Signs of Hope and Renewal Amid the Dramatic Decline of the Catholic Church in Ireland. And I just want to show you this. In 2021, a survey by the Association of Catholic Priests found that only about 30% of Catholics in Ireland attend Mass weekly, a significant drop from 91% in 1975. So 30%, that's way higher than Italy. That's actually higher than America, the United States, if we take the self-reported survey data seriously. But I don't think we should take the self-reported survey data seriously, because self-reported survey data is always a problem. The people who tend to harp on self-reported survey data the most these days is the nutrition world. And it's for a lot of good reasons. For those of you who know that, you know, I occasionally work on a second channel where I talk about ketogenic stuff and carnivore diet stuff. The self-reported diet stuff, or self-reported data in that realm, is so completely out of touch with reality that no one takes it seriously anymore. And I almost suggest that you can apply some of that to a lesser degree to self-reported data on how often people go to Mass. Because if you get a research organization saying, how often do you attend religious services on a weekly basis, you're probably going to inflate those numbers. That seems to be the general consensus. But even if it is inflated and you can drop it by, say, a fraction, or a half or a quarter or something, it's still higher than in other places. But the other thing about this, in Ireland, many people have openly walked away from the faith. So is it the number of people the diocese says are Catholic because of baptism? that go to Mass on a regular basis, or is this accounting the people who have apostatized? Because if it's people who have apostatized, then 30% of people who still consider themselves Catholic going to Mass on a regular basis is much different than 30% of a population of people where most people have a Catholic baptism still. One commenter, Mass attendance in the Netherlands, 2-3%. Yes, yeah, so I'm curious, though, because the Netherlands are more historically Protestant in the more recent history, I would be curious to see how many people attend their Protestant religious services there, too. Be very curious to see that. Musden says renewal has to start with a group of people realizing they are missing something they used to have, or something is horribly wrong in their lives and in society. That's how renewal also starts. A lot of converts will, who were not raised in any religious tradition at all, who become Catholic, will tell you that they be like, for me, for instance, that there was a gaping hole in my life that I was trying to fill with other things. And it became pretty clear that the hole in my life was Jesus or lack thereof. And so I needed to fix that. And that's what it's going to take in places like this in Ireland, that they're going to need to. In 2021, right. Yeah. So 2021, what's interesting about this Sunday is that not only was it in 2021, that maybe they're talking latter 2021. They may have gotten a slight bounce because of those kind of events. But in Italy, the faith, practice of the faith dropped off a cliff. Like, once you could go back to Mass, people didn't. Which was also the case in the United States. I remember reporting 2 years ago that we were getting new survey data showing people that, like a new data from parishes, that the number of people who were going to Mass before 2020 in 2022 was considerably lower. And some of that's the Francis effect, obviously. You know, you've got people leaving their parishes to go to traditional parishes after Traditionis Custodis. A lot of that happened. Probably not enough to move the needle so much. That instead, you had more people leaving their parishes and just not going to Mass. Because after all, we were told for 3 months, 6 months in some places, a year in some dioceses, that the sacraments weren't that big a deal. You could just watch it on TV. If you did that at all. And I'm not, you know, denigrating anybody who, because of circumstance, has to watch Mass most of the time on the internet. That's not what I'm talking about here. But for the life of the faith, for most people, they have to be there in person, especially to receive the sacraments on a regular basis. And be told that confession isn't that big of a deal, that the Eucharist isn't something you need all the time. Looming large over this Eucharistic revival the U.S. bishops are doing right now is the fact that every single one of them told us 4 years ago that receiving the Eucharist for a while wasn't that big a deal, that we had more important things to worry about. And that's why serious renewal is not going to happen until there's some coherence brought back to the faith, to the men who lead the church. Don Brooks says, let us recall Cardinal Ratzinger's famous prophecy of a purified and much more compact church. It must become smaller before it becomes bigger. Holiness holds center stage. Right. And it would be nice if we had more leaders amongst the bishops who are promoting holiness. We're saying who are promoting devotions beyond, you know, and actual old-fashioned fasting rules, or even if they weren't old-fashioned, they were still more rigorous than what is promoted now. The skipping meat on Fridays only in Lent thing and then praying an extra rosary on a Friday thing, that is so new in the life of the church, and it's had bad consequences. You want to fix some, like, maybe if you are in your life, if you are seeing a lack, that there is something lacking in your devotional or your spiritual discipline life, just bring back in your own life the old fish on Fridays and you know, the only maybe having two meals on Fridays, or just skipping meat on Fridays in general and only having to up the game. Basically, don't just do what is permitted by the church, but go a little beyond, and you will probably find that that will begin the path of fixing what some things that might be wrong in your life, or at least getting control of sins of habits or other things that you wrestle with. That one thing. The current rule, church has the right to change the rules on these things if they want. Doesn't mean always the rule changes are wise, though. All right. Fulton Sheen was right there setting up the ape of the church. Yeah, as did Blessed Aunt Catherine Emmerich said it too. Fuerte says serious fasting necessary to break servitude to money. Yeah. Yeah. One person seems to be spamming the same comment over and over again. Yeah, but so that, let me know what you think about this in the comments. I'm very curious because do you see this elsewhere? I'm curious. And I will once again thank the take the opportunity here to thank the subscriber who started the Give Send Go. We're at 85% of our target, which is incredible to me. I'll put a link to that in the live chat there, and then I'll put one in the pinned comment. If you want to participate, it is greatly appreciated. But yeah, so let me know what you think about this. I'll have all my sources at returntotradition.org, like always. I had somebody ask me why I don't put this stuff directly on YouTube. Our hosts have rules against posting links to places that have other websites that have ads on them. That's why I don't do it, and I follow their rules. So my website doesn't have any of that stuff on it, so go check it out there if you want to read these articles for yourself. Thanks again for tuning in today, folks. And as always, pray for the church. And I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.